From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Christopher Connolly. 150 years ago, the man who would become the first black millionaire in Texas was born in Kaufman County, east of Dallas. The son of a former slave, William McDonald Madison became an influential banker and a political force, and he helped shape Fort Worth at the turn of the 20th century. We start our story of how he helped lift up the city's African-American community in a place that was central to his legacy. When Bob Ray Sanders was growing up in the 1950s and early 60s, the east side of Fort Worth's downtown was the place to be. The intersection of Jones Street and 9th was the heart of a thriving black business district in this still segregated city.
Hotels, restaurants, barbershops, you name it, nightclub, from the convention center almost to the courthouse, these were black businesses. It was here, and it was vibrant.
A bank stood at the center of all that activity. Sanders is a retired Star Telegram columnist and a former KERA newsman, and he says so much of the city's black business class was tied in one way or another to fraternal bank and trust. Historians say it was the first black-owned bank in Texas. Its founder was William Madison McDonald.
From, you know, basically the beginning of the 20th century, Bill McDonald's imprint was on Fort Worth. And he made his mark, and he kept making his mark until the day he died.
Before he came to Fort Worth, McDonald lived in Kaufman County. Born in 1866, his father was a freed slave, a man who had once been owned by the Ku Klux Klan's first Grand Wizard. At just 8 years old, McDonald went to work for a white lawyer, a man who eventually helped him go to college. McDonald studied religion, ran a school, and organized a state fair to show off the accomplishments of black farmers, all before he turned 21.
Anything that he took his hand to prospered. And he was showing others that you can do this too.
Opal Lee helped launch Fort Worth's Black Genealogical and Historical Society. The 90-year-old grew up seeing McDonald. It was at the end of his life and at the beginning of hers. Lee would walk past the millionaire's massive mansion on Terrell Avenue.
He'd be sitting out sunning, a little old man, you know. And I wanted so much to go and say something to him, but I was afraid. I never spoke to him.
McDonald's personal life was marked by tragedy. His only son died in college. He left Kaufman County in 1906 for Fort Worth and quickly became a revered leader in his adopted city. He bought a handful of businesses, built several buildings, and opened Fraternal Bank and Trust. Opal Lee had an account there.
I wanted to show you.
Flipping through a book of old photographs, she says McDonald's Bank was a simple place. There was no fancy vault, just a few desks and an ornate cage where the money was locked away. She finds the page with a photo of the bank's interior.
Now this is Fraternal Bank and Trust. That's the bank right there. Can you believe that? All it is was a cage. Just a cage.
Still, it was a thriving institution. It not only survived the Great Depression, but was reported to have bailed out struggling white-owned banks as well. Originally, the repository for the wealth of black Masons, Fraternal Bank and Trust served the city's African Americans when white banks weren't open to them. Access to capital, Lee says, helped the community lift itself up.
He helped a lot of young black entrepreneurs get started in business.
Before he became a banker, McDonald was active in politics, and he excelled at that too. He was a close ally of Colonel Ned Green, a white man and a massively wealthy railroad and banking magnate. Together, the two established themselves as political power brokers.
Green and McDonald teamed up, and they ran the Republican Party in Texas.
In the decades that followed the end of slavery, a biracial coalition dominated the state Republican Party. McDonald became a shot caller in that so-called black and tan faction and served as a delegate at state and national conventions. Rebe Carey, a historian, educator, and civil rights leader, says that African Americans at that time almost exclusively backed Republicans.
That party freed us. didn't it? Abraham Lincoln, we got free because the Republican freed us.
Kerry is now in his 90s, but he grew up just a few blocks from McDonald. He says McDonald promoted a philosophy of black self-reliance, challenging African Americans to build their own institutions and businesses. A lifelong Republican, Kerry says McDonald's message shaped his own thinking and is still relevant today.
First place, he used to tell us, he said, if blacks want their own business, you set it up. If you want your own newspaper, you set it up.
McDonald died in 1950. In the decades since his death, many of the buildings he owned and built have disappeared. The bank was torn down. The Jim Hotel, where legends like Ella Fitzgerald and Count Basie stayed and played, is gone. Both his mansion and the sprawling Masonic temple he built were demolished. At the train station in downtown Fort Worth, at the intersection where McDonald's Bank once stood, there's a mural that celebrates the city's black history. Bob Ray Sanders says that mural makes clear just how much William McDonald's story is woven into the history of Fort Worth's African-American community at the beginning of the last century.
Bill McDonald was a waymaker for a lot of people, including me. He paved the way for a lot of people. He certainly wasn't the only one. But he was a major figure in our history.
Sanders says that when he was a kid, you couldn't grow up black in Fort Worth without hearing about William McDonald. Today, he says, young people don't learn a lot of local black history. So while McDonald's buildings are gone, Sanders says it's on us to decide if his memory lives on. Christopher Connolly, KERA News.